The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. This is morning dew. This is morning dew. And we thank you for this door. We thank you for this platform. We thank you, Lord God Almighty, for blessings that has come through this space. We are grateful in the name of Jesus. Thank you for how you have been blessing us this weekend. Such great blessings, oh God, that you have poured forth upon us. Lord, we are grateful. Thank you for our parents and the Lord, your servants. Thank you, Father, for Pastor Dixon, the lead pastor of this assembly. Thank you, Lord, for those that have been helping him. Help us indeed. Father, we are grateful in the name of Jesus. Lord God Almighty, we ask that by your mercies, that this morning teaching will be an addition to that which you want to do in this weekend, in the name of Jesus. I find grace, oh God, under your gift to us, your gift to man. Under your gift, our parents and the Lord, I find grace to bring forth words, oh God, by your mercies in Jesus' name. Under the pastorate of Eternal Life Embassy, under our pastor, the lead pastor of Lagos Assembly, Lord, please grant grace, grant help, that in this hour we will be blessed. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Glory to God. We thank God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Last week, the teaching opened up of Jesus the Rabbi. It is lesson 108 on the unveiling of the true God. Praise God. It was established last week that the rabbi is the teacher. So, you know, when you see the, it's specific. So you say the rabbi, that is his person, that is his office. Or should I say a covering of what brings out his content. So he's the rabbi that brings forth the content in Jesus. He needs to wear that cloth called rabbi to bring forth what is on his inside. So if Jesus did not come as rabbi, it would have been difficult for us to get all that is in God, because it comes through words. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And Word has to come through sayings. So he had to wear that cloth. He had to come with that office to be able to bring forth what was inside of him, or what God was raising on his inside. Amen. So part time, at Jordan, he had the authority to bring forth some kind of words. After the transfiguration, he had authority to bring forth some kind of words. So you can imagine the glorified Son, the kind of words that he is bringing to us is the words that will make us perfect. So he had to wear that clothing. He just must. You know, when the scripture talked about when he ascended, he also descended, filling up all things, and he gave gifts unto men. Even among that gift, teachers are there. Why? Because the content of God, the life in God, must be brought forth through utterance. Praise God. So when we say Jesus the rabbi, it is a major cloth that Jesus had to wear while he was on earth. And he gave men. He gave men to bring forth that which is on his inside. So, you know, Daddy has elaborated on that yesterday. For perfecting of saints. These men will be receiving words. Words. Hallelujah. So, if we go to our manual, Matthew 5:2. That's where we're starting from today. Can we all open our Bibles? Glory to God. Matthew 5:2. I like this scripture. If we read from verse 1, it said, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So there is actually teaching from observation. But there is teaching from speaking. It is teaching that came from plenty words that forms life that one should observe. If we see that same, if we see Matthew chapter 28, reading that, it said, and Jesus came, for verse 18, and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe. So there is need for words to come. And it's those words that are formed in us that will help us to begin to observe. Praise God. So when he said in this Matthew 5:2, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, you know, Jesus told the apostles that, don't worry, a time will come, you will have some persecutions here and there, but don't worry, when you stand before people, just open your mouth, I will fill it up. So that means that one needs to open one's mouth, but it is what God brings that is to proceed from the mouth. So when he says he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, that means that it is the thing that has been filled up inside that was spoken to them. It is not ordinary that they said he opened his mouth. He could have just said he taught them, saying. So because what scriptures have to bear witness of themselves. He told them, open your mouth, I will fill it up. So Jesus opened his mouth, and that which was on his inside was spoken out. Amen. And that's what he taught men. That's what he used to raise men. So he needed to teach his disciples. Jesus taught his disciples in many, many ways at many, many times. We'll see it further as we go into this teaching. Now let's go to our manual. In Jesus' teachings, some sayings were revelations of the mystery of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Revelations of the mystery of the kingdom. Some sayings. So, like we have said, when those sayings come, it is what is on his inside that is being brought forth. It is content. So when he's saying here that some sayings are revelations of the mysteries of the kingdom, that is what has formed him. He is the kingdom son. He is the kingdom personality. He is carrying kingdom. So when he opens his mouth, he's bringing forth what is on his inside. Content. His content is the mysteries of the kingdom. And he has grace to make it plain. He also has what it takes to say it, and you will not understand until the eyes of your understanding are open. For your eyes of understanding to be open, you need plenty of words. Plenty words. It is good to pray for your eyes to be open. But if you don't stay in waters that can open your eyes, you will pray unendingly. We like that prayer, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. You must pray it, but you need to stay by water. so that you can discern the words when your eyes start opening. Because if you don't stay by water, when your eyes begin to open, you will not see it. Hallelujah. So Jesus was teaching, and some of his sayings were revelations of the mysteries of the kingdom. Amen. Let's open our Bible, Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 13 from verse 11. Let's read from verse 10. He now said, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you. It is given unto you to know. So we established earlier that it is disciples that hear mystery. It is disciples that hear mysteries of kingdom in ways that they can understand. So one can actually be hearing mysteries, but because you have not stayed long enough in following, your eyes will not be open. It is a disciple that can understand it plainly. So to another person, it may be a parable, but to the disciple, it is plain. So imagine one that has followed long enough, even though it is coming like this thing I don't understand, but a disciple is having understanding. That's why sometimes we can be in church and someone say, all of us heard, but it's not everybody that heard it. No, don't worry. You will get there one day. It's not just to say, the understanding of it will rest in your soul. Why? Because many words have come forth that it is landing on. That's why we need to drink water. I like the way Pastor Lydia used to say it. She said, this person has drank water. You should drink water very well, so that by the time eyes want to be open, there's a place for water to be tested. There's a place for water to land, to settle. Hallelujah. It is given unto you to know. Say, it is given unto us to know. It is given unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. To our manual, Jesus did not come with the message of teaching earthly things. That is not the message that Jesus preached. At every point where Jesus spoke, that's one of the reasons I believe why Jesus did not start speaking until Jordan. He needed to be ready to bring forth kingdom matters. Like we have heard time and time again, by the time the things of Christ begins to be spoken to us, then we are touching the things of the kingdom. So Jesus did not come with the message of teaching earthly things. When he left Jordan, the next thing was saying, repent, for what? The kingdom of God is at hand. He went straight into establishing kingdom. That is the message of Jesus. He came to teach mysteries. Teach mysteries. There's hardly any one of us here that has not stayed under tutors. So, it's not ordinary that even to get life, you need to stay with tutors. But when you come to your tutor, do you come with a mind that you know? If you have a lecturer that knows that you want to be rubbing shoulder with him, sorry. It's not because the lecturer is wicked. Sometimes the lecturer wants to deal with pride. You see that thing? You can even think that you know it. You will fail. When scripture says, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save you. So actually, this whole journey is reducing ourselves so that we can receive word. It is a full journey of reduction of self up to the place where we can receive the gift of God. So the more of self one has, the less of God that one has. So when you come to a teacher, you should be ready to be humble. So what kind of hearts did we bring here today? I believe that we came with a humble heart. That is the kind of breed that the Lord is raising. Hallelujah. Men that can receive his word. Amen. So he came to teach mysteries, hidden wisdom, or thoughts of the kingdom of heaven. Thoughts. So that's what is running him. Aside the fact that he's saying it, is his faculties. That is what genders his faculties. That is what controls him. So you will see that it is what we think that we do eventually. It's how we think that we do. So when you now say teaching them to observe, what do you observe? You actually observe one who has used thought to live. So teaching and teaching and teaching, because that scripture said baptizing them. One is so immersed that you don't have another life. Hidden wisdom or thoughts of the kingdom of heaven. That is what he came to teach. Hallelujah. So when we seek Jesus' gifts, having enough trust in your heart that Jesus gave these gifts, if you trust what his gift is saying, you are already trusting Jesus. Because they are bringing forth the hidden wisdom or thoughts of the kingdom of heaven. That is our kingdom. That is our life. Heaven is our life. That is our real habitation, our real habitat. Hallelujah. And they are making us properly, meet the expectation of that habitation. Hallelujah. So there is need for initiation to our manual before we can have access to those mysteries. Like our daddy will always say, and Pastor Dixie says this too, it's not for Ogberi. Ogberi. Hallelujah. So like we said earlier, if you pray from morning to night, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened that I may know what is the hope. You will just be praying if you don't stay near the place where you'll be receiving waters. But before you can even descend the water, you need to come into the door of salvation first. Initial salvation. Initial salvation. You see, this initiation is death. Oh. You know when I say somebody is initiated into something? Hallelujah. What you are saying is that my life is going. For those that have stayed around, some people that have gone to one cultism or the other, there's no initiation without blood. You are saying that I want to give my life to this thing. That is the initiation. If we are saying that, if you don't make up your mind that this thing is my life, mysteries may not be open. I'm using my words carefully. I can say mysteries will not be open, but what should she say will not be? It's omale. It will be difficult. It will not be open. You have to give your life to it. Hallelujah. So there's need for initiation before we can have access to those mysteries. But his followers and children have the right to know mysteries. So you need to follow. Say follow. Follow, follow. That is it. That is where our life will go. Demands on that thing you love. Can you let go of this thing for me? Oh, Jesus, I will let go of it for you, okay? You will not know that virtue has dropped in you. Then they will come with another demand. That thing that you want to let go of, it's not like that thing is good. You don't know that thing is death. But because your life has loved it, it's not easy for one to drop it. No, drop it. You will see that there's glory ahead that your mind cannot fathom. Let go. Let go. Be a follower. Amen. Jesus came teaching the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. He did not come teaching how God will restore the kingdom to Israel. And that is one of those things that was an offense to Israel. Jesus did not come on how we'll have dominion over the Romans. But actually, if one really seeks kingdom, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. All other things shall be added. Now, question. Where is Roman kingdom now? It has morphed. It has morphed into systems. But even with that, there is still a need, because it's like saying, God, in all this time I'm serving you. What about this one? What about this one that is my need? But when you seek kingdom, those things get taken care of on the way, along the way. Can you just look away from it for just a little while? They said in Acts chapter 1 from verse 6, and when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Okay. And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So you see Jesus moving, pushing his own kingdom. Because they are going from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. They are asking for Israel. Jesus is telling them, you have a higher kingdom. Let me give you Holy Ghost first. When you receive Holy Ghost and use Holy Ghost well, then you will move into more dominion. There's a dominion that is a mark for you, set out for you. By the time you start walking in that dominion, you will see that, this kingdom of Israel I was saying is actually the smallest of things, because it will not matter anymore. Hallelujah. So the scripture tells us, or Emmanuel, that what they came to show to us is not the kingdom of Israel, but the kingdom of God. So you can say, okay, that was Israel. But that kingdom can be anything. It can mean anything to us. So we shouldn't separate ourselves from this. It is either the kingdom of God or other things. God or mammon. We see that in Matthew chapter 6. It's either God or mammon. So when you talk about the kingdom of God, anything can be your kingdom of Israel. So you say, oh God, even after Jesus has resurrected, it's still possible for one to say, God, what about this one? But God is saying, no, there's something else you should look at. Can you allow my kingdom to rule you? It will start with where you are. It will start with where your Jerusalem. So let's start with our Jerusalem. Have we been taking over our Jerusalem? Is our Jerusalem in dominion of God? When you take Jerusalem, you go to Judea, then Samaria, and the uttermost part of it. That is the aim of the kingdom of God. That is what Jesus started crying after Jordan. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is at hand. Though God has an interest in restoring the kingdom to Israel, the ultimate interest of the Son, which makes him the Son, was that he came to unveil a realm of life that was never seen by any man through his teachings. So he came to unveil a realm of life. So the realm of life of God is actually there. When scripture says that the kingdom of God is within you, it's there. But there's blindness. Daddy said it on Wednesday. That's our problem. That we should be crying every day that God, please take away blindness. Because when the words that Jesus came to bring is to remove, tear the veil of blindness. Tear the veil of blindness from before us. So why are we receiving words? It's so that veil of blindness will be taken away. It's just like an onion that has plenty coverings. There's the core inside of it. Yielding to the teaching of Jesus tears veil. It tears veil. Are you not seeing better today than you were seeing last year? Now you can imagine patient continuance in this well-doing. Seeking. So it's not just that I'm just going. Because if one is not seeking in that continuing, you are going to be weary. You are seeking. Why? Because there's glory, honor, eternal life ahead. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. To our manual now, we have seen what God did through Jesus. We have seen what God did through Jesus that was designed to help us to believe. And that's why God will not count any man to be ignorant at the end of his making known of himself. You know, when the word of Christ is being preached, you would know. Daddy said it, I think it was yesterday. When one is hearing it, you would know. It's just that one may say, I don't want. There is every provision on the earth. When the Holy Ghost came to the in Acts chapter 2, that was a seal that God has come for his kingdom to come. That was the seal. That was the surety that God has started the work for the closing of his fullness of times. So there is no man that can look away from this. There is a witness on the inside. When he said the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So when you see people that finds grace to say this thing, say it here and there, and you find grace to say, just utter it. It is not the first time that person is probably hearing it. Daddy has said that there's no convert that is your own. Don't say, it's my convert, sorry. That's not the first time the person heard. You can imagine. Do you know that God, Jesus has been crying to hearts even as a baby? Hearts have been picking Jesus. Because there's some people, what make them turn that, this thing, who would have made this? Is it not God? Then they will start seeking. So there's no heart that does not bear witness to God. There's no heart. Praise the Lord. So none will be ignorant. How God will do it, it looks like, how will we know? We need to send people. People will go. People will be sent. But how God will do it, he knows. Praise the Lord. So God has sent us help so we will not perish but have everlasting life. That is the joy of God. So why he sent his son? It's so that people will start receiving the Son. Receiving until we get to the end of our faith, which is the salvation of our souls. It is a journey. It is a process. It takes time, but it is sure. Hallelujah. Amen. He has sent us help so we will not perish but have everlasting life. God did what he has never done before through Jesus Christ. I mean, we can relate to this. There was a life hid in God, and he brought it to man through Jesus. Hallelujah. So to our manual now, let's read John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Okay, thank you for this. Let me read from here. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus went onto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Hallelujah. You know, when I saw this, he sat down and taught them. I just saw a man that was at rest. This man is not struggling with the things in God. He's not in averance with God at all. He's not having any schism with God. He's in full reconciliation with God. He's at rest. So this is a position of rest. A position of authority. The fact that Jesus sat and taught is a symbol that he was a teacher that was sent and that had authority. It's possible for Jesus to want to stand. He can still teach. But he needed to show that as a sign of the authority that was already raised inside of him. Please, when you see our parents sitting, they are not just trying to prove that they want to sit. God led them there. Daddy has said one day of how he was moved towards sitting. It's not as if he wanted to. It is a sign of authority. What a blessed people we are. That God is allowing us to take journeys. And we are seeing how he's taking us little by little, line upon line, a little here, a little there. Before now, we had just only morning teaching. Now School of Life has added. Now we are reading Bible. Do you know that these things are additions? They are signs of what God is doing inside of us. Hallelujah. He sat and taught them as Moses sat. And that's why he said, Moses sat. He sat all day. We read it now when we're reading our Bible, Abi. That his father-in-law had to come to him. You want to die all day, you just sit down. People are coming to you, you'll be serving. But he was seated. That was a sign of his authority. And when they saw him sitting, they were like, who is this guy? Why is this guy? There's something about this guy. This authority that this guy is taking, is using. And that's why he said to them, woe unto you Pharisees, for they also sat in the seat of Moses. They took upon them authority that was not given. Woe unto a man that uses authority that he has not been given. We need to trust God to be patient in our walk with him. Allow Jesus to lead you. Amen. Then allow faith to use that which Jesus is giving to you per time. Amen. In Israel, men in places of authority were put in certain positions. Moses was authorized and he sat and taught, but the Pharisees were not authorized by God. They were not authorized by God. Yet, they sat to teach. The Lord will help mankind. Amen. So, Mark chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. From verse 21. Thank you. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine. Let's now see that. For he taught them as one that had authority. But it wasn't as the scribes. So you see somebody that can sit and teach, but the thing is not bringing forth the life of God. They could not look away from what he was saying. He said he taught them as one that had authority. That authority is from God. They could recognize it. This man, the way I'm looking at him, there's something upon him. I like Mark. Mark is like summary. Just put everything together. Amen. So we see where Jesus has been at this point. He had really gone a distance with God. At Jordan, an authority came upon him. But he did not rush to the Mount of Transfiguration. He waited on God. When it was time for him to die, he didn't rush there. If not, he would have been probably beheaded. He waited for God. We'll find grace to wait for God. Sometimes the authority that we think we need may just be that we need to put our head under somebody that has authority. That is enough. That is the authority. Once you are under somebody that has authority, I tell you what that means is that you actually have it. You are just finding grace to find expression under. You don't need to show anything. Just remain under. Hallelujah. The scribes were not authorized, but they sat to teach. It was not even about the natural sitting, but that in the spirit, Jesus was seated. Jesus had a place. When you say authority, when you see a king is seated when he's passing his decrees. When you say Jesus is at the right-hand side of the Father, that means Jesus shares an authority that the Father has given him. The Father gave it to him. So where he is seated, that's why somebody can be in a place, but the person is not there. Some of us are seated here, and by God's grace, we are here in Jesus' name. Amen. But it's only for somebody to be seated, and the person is seated somewhere else. Jesus was seated, and he was with the Father. He said, I came from God, I went to God. He is with God. Hallelujah. So it was about where Jesus was seated. God put him in a place where he could order the next generation of men on the earth. So he taught them with great authority. Hallelujah. Still that same Mark. Amen. From verse 23, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, the man cried out, saying, let us alone. Jesus was in his place. You saw it here. He entered the synagogue. He was teaching. But while he was in that synagogue, there was a man with an unclean spirit who cried out. So Jesus was just exercising the authority under his Father. But there was one that understands that realm because they are falling. To an extent, they can perceive it. They know, oh, this man has something. He's seated in a place that I know to an extent. Say, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Had thou come to destroy us? I know you. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. I don't know if anybody has been given that accolade before. Holy One of God. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus said, Benoit, son, keep quiet. Hold your peace. Just come out. Hallelujah. Now you can imagine that kind of man. He said, shh, yeah, come out, go. Leave him alone. And when the unclean spirit had turned him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed in so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? What new doctrine is this? Because they know that Moses came with doctrine. So they know that somebody that has this kind of authority is coming with doctrine. So what we need to understand this man. What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey. He said, even the unclean spirits. So they know that his authority is more than even that command, because he was talking from a place. Hallelujah. The manner of delivery of the word. The manner of delivery. So the way Jesus delivered the word distinguished him. His manner. He didn't just deliver it with his mental strength. He didn't just deliver it because he has oratory. He delivered it by the Spirit. So that manner of delivery of the word and the response of the Spirit that backed up the word was one thing they had never seen before. So it was not just words they heard. They didn't just hear words. They knew that they were hearing spirits. They were hearing spirits. That's unclean spirits. Oh my God. Unclean spirits said, Holy One of God. Now you can imagine men that Jesus came to save. They were still wondering what manner of spirit this man has come with. Should they not have just learned from the unclean spirit? The way Balaam should have just learned from his donkey. They should have just learned. There's something about this man. Nobody has called a person the Holy One of God before. Praise God. It was not just words they heard. It was the Spirit. Amen. The head spirit. What has power to change is spirit. When God formed man, he breathed upon him. That was when he gave him commandments. He said, go and do this. Go and do that. Because he had given him spirit. He breathed upon him. So it's a man that has spirit, that has what it takes to convert. That has what it takes to change. It is not mental strength. A mental man will just raise mental people. But a spirit man, say spirit man, will raise people that go with the wind. The wind blows, it blows where it listed. You don't know where it's coming, where it's going. That is the manner of God. Can't say this is how God wants to do it. But there's a person in God. There's a spirit in God. If you can yield to his spirit, then you will learn the manner of God. Hallelujah. It was the Spirit that they were hearing. If we see John chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "For the bread of God, the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and he giveth life unto God, unto the world." You know, I love this scripture because it's showing that he needed to use this analogy because it was a comparison with Moses. There was a bread that Moses gave. Moses gave a kind of doctrine. But there is a doctrine that comes from heaven. The heaven of God. That is the one that we give life unto the world. That is the one that will give life. So if they had followed him from where they were talking in Mark, and followed him to this place, they would have started seeing that, okay, I'm now understanding that we're talking about his authority. He's sitting like one that has authority, comparing him to Moses. But at this point, when you talk about bread, because they say, Moses gave us bread. Moses gave us bread in the wilderness. He gave us manna for 40 years. You are just feeding 5,000 people and you are telling us you are the bread of life. I mean, what are we talking about? He's now saying, no, there's a bread in God. And I am the bread of God. I am formed. That's which you should eat. 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 As words are coming, what makes us is words. What makes a person is actually the words that person has been exposed to. Praise God. So there is that which we should have, that which we should be. What makes somebody's food? The food you eat, it will show. It will show in your body. Amen. So there's a food we are supposed to eat in our spirits. Actually, that is what we give us life. Praise God. So as we are here now, we are eating. Since yesterday, we have been eating. All this past, we've been eating. Today, we will eat. Why are we here? It's for life. 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 Say life. 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 More life. More abundant life. And I like how our dad used to say it, so that you'll be okay. When you say, are you okay? You told me you just finished eating. Say, are you okay? I'm okay. Are you very okay? That one is another level of satiation. I am very okay. Are you very, very okay? Aha. Why? You've eaten. That's why we are here. We need to be full. Full of God. It's possible. We will get there. Amen. Tipsy with God. Praise Jesus. There are spirits. They are not just mere words. They're not mere words. As it's coming to us, it's filling us up. There are some spaces in us that needs to be shocking. That's why sometimes they will come with School of Life. Because some of us have not drank Holy Ghost very well. They will use it to shock in those places. They'll come with money teaching as it's coming now. Sometimes that will come with teachings of the Holy Ghost. Why? We need to be perfect, complete, whole. That is the essence of the word, the teaching. Amen. They are words that are quick, that are quickened, they are alive, and come from the realm of the living. We see more than that. We see more that God testified through Jesus' teachings that this one man is different and is the sent one. This one man. Say this one man is different. If we see Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God. That scripture always tickles me. It starts with God. God. Who at sundry times and in diverse manners, diverse times, he spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He gave us meals unto the fathers by the prophets. But hath what? In these last days spoken unto us by Son. He has given us Son. He has given us the bread. He has given us himself in a man. And said we should eat all of him. Eat all of him. Hallelujah. So he has finished the work. in his son. Jesus is the sent one. Say, Jesus is the sent one of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. We thank God. Amen. So, to our manual now, Matthew chapter 22. I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So what will make us have fellowship, or to say we have what is in God, is that we receive what God has brought. What will make us align to what is in God is that we receive what God has brought. If we are not having the things that are in God, God will not be our God. He's not God of the dead. So some say, am I dead? I did not say that we are dead. But I know that God wants to quicken us more than he has quickened us, that we have been quickened. Hallelujah. He wants to bring us up. He wants to raise us up. He wants to take us to the height. He wants us to come into the head. A man that will do that, the man has to be alive. Alive to God. Hallelujah. That is the God. So some say God is our God. It's true. But this scripture says something. There is a God of the living. Amen. Amen. So why are we coming to church? Why are we staying with words? Why am I eating words? Why am I fellowshipping with words? I want to be made alive. Because I want to appear in where God can relate with me. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. They were always astonished. Like, man, this man is just... Why did they not follow him? I don't know. Well, some would have followed him because we know that by the time he was ascending, there were 500. Only that by the time they were at upper room, there were 120. Amen. Well, let's trust God that the other ones, they joined. Amen. It's not easy to follow through, but we will follow to the end. Amen. This scripture affirmed the reality of resurrection. Resurrection. So God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. God is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that is quickened. He has been made quickening spirits. Jesus is alive. When you say somebody is alive, life, there are different forms of life. You know, Daddy was saying it yesterday. He said there is a form of life that God has. There is now a form of life that angel has. In that keda of God, then there are also levels in God. That life in God is the one that God brought to us. He now said that we want to conform. So when you say conform to his image, he's conforming to his world, conforming to his bios. That is what God has brought to us. So when God says somebody is alive in God, truly is that person has what God has. So this affirms the reality of resurrection. As the Pharisees at the time were trying to assault Jesus with the issue of resurrection, when they brought out that difficult matter about the man who had a wife, that matter always amazes me anytime I read it. We thank God for them. Amen. A man who had a wife and died, and the brothers, as well. They formed that story. Is that impossible? I don't know. That was his sister. An unbelieving car. Daddy said that is an unbelieving soul. Kai. That soul that they're passing from is an unbelieving soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. They brought out that difficult matter about a man who had a wife and died, and the brothers inherited her. When Jesus came with the understanding of resurrection, he's telling them that there's a life in God. If you are intermeddling with that life, you will not be thinking like this. He came with them with that understanding of resurrection. The people were astonished at his doctrine because of the authority, clarity, and separation. He divided the lines. You won't be confused. You may not have understanding when Jesus teaches, but you will not be confused. Separation of his doctrine. It was not what man could concord or an idea of man. God can never be concorded by man. God comes by understanding. And that understanding, you will sit and Jesus will teach. Praise God. So say, calm down. Calm down. Understanding cometh. Hallelujah. Lastly, the consistency in the revelation was obvious. So we saw Mark. We saw what happened in Mark. We saw John. It was consistent. And there are many, many scriptures like that that bears witness to who Jesus, the sent one, is. The consistency in the revelation was obvious. That was why his word is not yea and nay. It is yea. He is formed. In him, there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He is caked with substance in God. And when he speaks, it is true. Hallelujah. He will not say one thing today and say something else tomorrow. No. We see his consistency and therefore know that he is the one that God. Let's read that last from he is. Let's start from we see his consistency together. We see his consistency and therefore know that he is the one that God has committed himself to. God has committed himself to a man eventually, and that man is Jesus. Let's give praise.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.